Greetings, friends, and welcome to another broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue our studies in the radio series, The Riches of God. And today we want to consider ourselves particularly His goodness, His forbearance, and His suffering. In Romans 2 and 4, we read there, the Apostle Paul, of course, writing to the Romans, "Despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" He's writing this epistle to the Romans and to those that don't know the Lord, because Paul expected to really have a harvest of souls when he went there. And so he writes this wonderful verse, "Despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God will lead thee to repentance?" And we want to take up this study today in three sections: His goodness, His forbearance, and His long-suffering. Now, the goodness of God stems out of His love. God is love in His character, in His person. He is the author of it. He gives it. We read in 1 John 4, 8 and 9, "He that loveth not God knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. He that loveth not knoweth not God." All right, God loves us. And then there's that wonderful verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 3:16, probably the best known verse in all the Bible. Now, did God actually love everybody in this world? Yes, He did. And I'll tell you why He did. Because He says, "Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Everybody was included in that love. Now, He loves His children. But He loved a guilty world. Now, this is beyond us. We love those that love us. Love begets love. But there was no love upon the part of those, and even in our own individual experience, there was no love on our part toward God until we realized His God, His love for us. And we've just read it there in John 9. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, in that He said His only Son and begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him." Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Oh, how wonderful the love of God. It transcends all our thoughts. And Christ died for the sins of the guilty world. God did not prepare hell for mankind. We read in the 25th chapter of Matthew, "Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels." I say it reverently. Though, and I want to make an emphasis of this when I say it, that God does not will the death of any man. He is long-suffering and not willing that any should perish, we read in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And if men are lost, it is because they choose not God. It will not be His fault. Now, the evidence of His goodness is given to us in Psalm 65, 9 to 13. And I'm going to read just those verses without just too much comment, because this just shows His goodness. All right. "Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them with corn. Preparest them with corn when Thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly, Thou settlest the furrows thereof, Thou makest it soft with showers, for Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with Thy goodness." The crops are a picture, they are an example of the goodness of God. And He goes on to say, "Thou crownest the year with Thy goodness, Thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys are covered with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing." These are just examples of crops. the food for a hungry world. God gives it out of his goodness, and he mentions it here under the word goodness. Thou crownest thy the year with thy goodness. And oh, how wonderful the goodness of God is. Now, that is not all. In the 107th Psalm, God delivers men out of their troubles, out of those troubles that are so great that they're life-threatening. We read there, and it's repeated in the 107th Psalm, for those that sit in darkness and those that are those that have sinned against him. That we read there in verse 9, the first group, thou he satisfied the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Because of their evil, he sent a famine upon them. But then when they prayed to him, he satisfied the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. And then we read further on, fools, because of their transgression, because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their souls abhorreth all manner of meat, and so on. And he sends them trouble. And that, then we read in verse 21 again, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works for the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Then he says, they that go down to sea in ships and do great business in great waters. The Lord sends a storm. He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waters thereof. They mount up to heaven. They go down again to the depths. And the huge waves, their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. And at their wit's end, then they cry unto the Lord. It's over and over again in this psalm. And it says, then they cry unto the Lord in their troubles. He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Over and over, just read the 107th Psalm, and you see the measure of the goodness of God. And the measure is also repeated in Zechariah 9:17, and we're not even going to comment upon it. It's just a lovely verse. I'm going to read it to you. Zechariah writes to the children of Israel, how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty. And let me say, his beauty is a part of his goodness. All right. Now, he's rich in forbearance. And I'm not going to turn to the scriptures. He forbore with David. David sinned against the Lord with Bathsheba. And then to cover up his sin, he sent her husband to the battlefield and had him placed in a dangerous place where he would die so it wouldn't look like his sin. And then he took Bathsheba for his wife. And she was bearing child immediately. That's why he had to take her as his wife. Okay. And Nathan came to him and he said, David, you've sinned. You have sinned against the Lord. And oh, what a terrible thing. I'm going to repeat his words. And David said, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. But let me tell you, the child that Bathsheba bore died. Three other sons of David died. It reminds us of that tremendous verse in Galatians 6. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And the law of reaping is that you always get more than you sow. David took one man's life, and he lost four of his sons. He reaped. He reaped indeed. Oh, how serious it is to presume upon the goodness of God. Now, he had patience with Israel in Nehemiah 9:30. We read there, yet many years thou didst forbear them and testified against them by the spirit of the prophets, yet they would not give ear. Therefore thou gavest them into the hand of the people of the lands. And of course the severest one was into the hands of the Babylonians. Nebuchadnezzar carried them away captive into Babylon. Then there's the Apostle Paul. He was so aligned against Christianity that he had the Christians put in prison. And he was on the road to Damascus to apprehend more of them so he could incarcerate them. And the Lord met him on the road to Damascus. And he saved his soul. And and oh, they were afraid of Paul. Well, it was Saul of Tarsus in those days. He was called Paul later. But they were afraid of him. But God saved him. And oh, did he reap what he sowed? His life was filled with persecutions and trials. Read the 11th and 12th chapters of 2 Corinthians. Yes, 11th and 12th chapters. What Paul went through, he found out whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. But God saved his soul. Now he is rich in long-suffering. We read in Exodus 33 and 18 where Moses wanted to see the glory of the Lord. And he said in verse 18, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I will be gracious, and I will be gracious to whom I am gracious. Now later, in the 34th chapter, we have him going through this experience. The Lord told David, you're going to stand on a rock. I'm going to put you in a niche in that rock, and I'm going to keep my hand over you so you won't see my face, because if you see my face, you'll die. So he did that. And then the Lord descended in the 5th verse in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Yes, God is long-suffering. And his long-suffering with Paul we've already talked about. And with those that are in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, the one to whom Paul was addressing his Roman epistle. They had to be reached for God. And Paul anticipated the harvest of souls. And then he tells them in that epistle, he says, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Oh, God is so good that he wants to win people. He wants to win them with his love. He wants to win them with his kindness. But if they will not have him, judgment will follow. And there's no use to presume upon his goodness, his forbearance, his long-suffering, because God's patience someday will run out with people who will not have him. But he's good now, and he wants to win us to himself by the Scriptures, and he tells us there's not much time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day to be saved. The time is short. The time is accepted. Now is the day of salvation. Don't presume that you shall live and then spend your life living for yourself and then be saved by God. Our Father today, help us to realize the urgency of answering God's goodness with our faith in the Lord Jesus, that he loved us and died for us on that cross. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.